You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Pastor Ken Klaus on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Good Lord, Deliver Us. Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today, as we stand at the doorway of another year of God's grace, let our first steps be taken with the proclamation of Jesus' resurrection victory upon our lips. When the future seems uncertain, when we are unsure of what tomorrow may bring, when we have no guarantees of ever seeing the end of this new year, we acknowledge that the Christ who has conquered sin, death, and devil will also be victorious in all of the tomorrows of all those who believe in him as Savior and Lord. The Scots, or the Welsh, depending on which historian you believe, centuries ago came up with a prayer. It reads, From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord, deliver us. Now, the odds are that the person who first wrote that prayer had never seen any ghoulies or ghosties, nor is it likely that he or she had any encounters with long-leggedy beasties. Yet the prayer has survived. It comes down to us partly because of its quaint language, but also because it touches something deep down inside all of us, namely the fear of the unknown and the things that we cannot control. From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord, deliver us. When European explorers set out across the sea, that might well have been their prayer, with only the most rudimentary of navigational tools and maps based on guesswork rather than fact. The unknown was a constant terror. Would they sail to the end of the earth and fall into a bottomless abyss? Who could tell? Would they encounter strange places inhabited by ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties? They could only guess. When these explorers returned, map makers pored over the ship's logs and began to fill in the great unknowns across the sea. Eventually, major rivers, islands, navigable ports were shown. But there were still the great expanses of ocean that had not been seen, locations where all that was known was the unknown. In such places, the mapmakers, the cartographers, with trembling hands wrote, Here there might be dragons. They weren't sure, so they imagined the worst. Might they not have written from ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, Good Lord, deliver us? Of course, we know that they were being silly. Today, a top-of-the-line car will have a GPS, a global positioning system. Using satellites, some hundreds of miles above the Earth, even the most directionless among us can find out where we are and be told when we're off route. Our technological age has informed us in no uncertain terms that there are no ghoulies or ghosties or long-leggedy beasties. The thing that goes bump in the night is the air conditioning turning on or the newspaper boy bouncing the 5-pound Sunday special edition off our front door. No, ours is an age where the last of the dragons and the long-leggedy beasties have been slain. If the History Channel carries a special about the Babylonians who worship the evil, scaly-bodied, winged dragon named Tiamat, we smile. If public television shares the story of the ancient Egyptian god Apepi, who was the great serpent in the world of darkness, we think, how quaint. We know that there are no ghoulies or ghosties or long-leggedy beasties, and the only thing that goes bump in the night is when we, in the darkness, stub our toes against a piece of bedroom furniture. All the dragons are slain. All of your dragons have been slain, haven't they? There is no unknown, unexplored spot in your life where you could scrawl, here there might be dragons. There isn't, is there?
I wonder.
When I talk with senior citizens, I find the conversations often drift into recollections of the good old days. Those were the days when people had no need of locks on their doors. Those were the days when people could walk down a city street without fear. A logical individual might try to counter the good old day claim by saying, you left your house open because you had nothing to steal. And although you might walk down the street without fright, you probably were reluctant to go to the local movie theater or swimming pool for fear of contracting polio. Explain all you want. Seniors no longer feel secure when they go shopping or when they take their evening stroll or when they enter their own homes and apartments. Many of our country's seniors enter this new year passing a large sign that says, here, there might be dragons. Of course, their dragon may not be yours. This past year, we've seen the stock market bounce around like a ping pong ball. Are you worried what might happen in 2003? Then right here, there might be dragons on that part of your life. Have you been searching without success for a job? Here, there might be dragons. Is the company at which you work doing poorly? Has the person at the next cubicle or on the next machine on the line been let go? Is there talk of your company moving to Mexico? Are you worried about whether you will have a position at the end of the year? You can write, here there might be dragons. Have you heard the doctor say the words cancer, AIDS, congestive heart failure, terminal, or it doesn't look good? Are you waiting for the results of a life-changing test? Are you making decisions about a major method of treatment? Are you worried about the health of an infant, the development of a child? These unknowns in your life say, here are my dragons. Have your home's foundations been rocked by arguments, fights, and cruel comments? Has the joy of marriage become a drudge? Are you not sure whether aging mom or dad can continue to live in their own home? Whatever it may be, the unknown says, here are your dragons. Every generation, every individual, has its dragons. Back in the first century A.D., the Christians who lived scattered throughout Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, had their share of dragons. They may not have met your dragons, but they had them. There were times when they had been left alone to faithfully follow the Savior. But there were other times, times of persecution when they lived in daily danger. One day your family would be intact. The next would find mother murdered or father terribly tortured. There was no telling who would escape and who would not. The terrifying unknowns of each tomorrow brought them their dragons. The Lord God in heaven, knowing the fears and pains of his people, spoke. The Holy Spirit came upon their bishop, the Apostle John, and inspired him from his prison in the little Mediterranean island of Patmos to write words of encouragement. And when John wrote about the unknown, when he talked about the hounding and harrying of his charges, when he spoke about the world's evil, he wrote about a dragon. A great dragon who terrified the world, who was trying to lead all of God's creation astray. This was the great serpent which had unsuccessfully tried to overthrow God in heaven, but who fared far better in tempting our original parents, who had made that which God had created perfect and pure to be dirty and deadly. John conceded that this multi-headed dragon was a terrifying beast. He admitted that this dragon often seemed invincible. But guided by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John let these early Christians know, just as he is letting you know today, that appearances can be deceiving. Although the dragon, the devil, may win some skirmishes, the outcome of the war between good and evil has been decided. On Calvary's crest, upon the cruel cross, Jesus Christ conquered. The message God sent to his churches was, yes, there are dragons out there, but whether you can see it now or not, Christ has conquered the dragon. The devil has gone down in defeat. Satan has been stopped. It was to defeat the devil and all of our personal dragons that brought Jesus into this world. From that moment when the Christ child first cried in the Bethlehem stable, the battle was engaged. At the beginning of his ministry, the dragon Satan, who had managed over the millenniums to lead the world astray, tried those same tactics in the temptation of Jesus. In the wilderness, he made appeals to Jesus' senses. They were rebuffed with words of Scripture. Earthly power that would entice any normal individual was offered and defiantly declined.
A shortcut to the Savior's years of suffering was suggested and summarily rejected. There was no quick way for Jesus to save the sinful souls of this sorry planet. There was no smooth path to victory over the devil or the many minor dragons he had spawned in this world. Jesus would live, die, and rise so that the dragons, your dragons, might be defeated. This new year, are you disputing with the dragon of ill health? When he walked this earth, Jesus met your dragon of infirmity and defeated him. The book of Matthew records, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. In another place it says, news about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Well, neither I, nor any other conscientious Christian pastor, can guarantee physical healing to those who are committed to Christ. I can promise that the Lord will either defeat your dragon or give you those tools which will help you deal with him. It may well be that you will, in infirmity, join the company of the Apostle Paul. This is what he said. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In this new year, are you being stalked by the dragons of loneliness and rejection? Have you been betrayed by those in whom you believed? Have you found no friend who is faithful? Jesus dealt with that dragon as well. The prostitutes, publicans, and sinners, all discarded by polite society, found a reliable supporter in the Savior. Who better can be counted on than Jesus? He was rejected by the sinful souls he had come to save. He was condemned by his own church and priests. He was denied justice by his own government, deserted by his own disciples, and betrayed by the kiss of one of his closest followers. In this new year, those of you who are alone, let the Holy Spirit turn you from that dragon to your deliverer, Jesus, the Savior who said he had come to seek and save those who are lost. This new year may well find you being stalked by dragons. I cannot tell you what they will be, cannot imagine the form they will take or the time in which they will come, but they will come. The serpent Satan will come with his temptations and his terrors, with sinister sins and frightening fears. The dragons will come. What will you say on the day they arrive? Will you bravely try to stand fast and battle the dragon with your own pitiful power? I have never met an individual who had that courage or ability. During World War II, a military governor met with General George Patton in Sicily. When he praised Patton highly for his courage and bravery, the general replied, "Sir, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I am an utter craven coward. I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in the sight of battle in my whole life when I wasn't so scared that I had sweat in the palms of my hands." Years later, in his autobiography, the general said, "I learned very early in my life never to take counsel of my fears." If even Patton can admit that he had fear, how much more must we confess our lack of courage when we confront our dragons? Which takes us back to our opening prayer. Do you remember it? From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord, deliver us. Protection from the dragon can only be found in the Lord's deliverance. Only trust in God can release and rescue us from the fear of the dragons. Only Jesus can defeat the devil, can slay Satan. Only Jesus can confront your dragon and emerge the conqueror. Confident in Christ, St. Paul listed some of the dragons that could confront us. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. The list isn't over. Paul continues with the dragons that are out there. There is the dragon of death. There is the dragon of life. There are the dragons of principalities and powers. There are the dragons of the present and the dragons of the future. The dragons are numerous. The dragons are coming. Paul, like you and I, is sure of it. Is there no hope? There is.
Even as Paul is sure that the dragons are coming, he is equally confident that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Indeed, against all of these dragons, we will emerge victorious, because in Jesus we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Jesus, who conquered the dragon of sin for us by living a perfect life, Jesus, who conquered the dragon of the devil for us by resisting every temptation to evil, Jesus, who conquered the dragon of death for us by his physical resurrection on the third day, can conquer, has conquered your dragons as well. From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, the good Lord has delivered us. Your dragons in the new year have been slain. If you believe in this Savior, Jesus has promised to send the Holy Spirit upon his faithful followers and grant them a victory over their dragons, to grant you victory over your dragons. At the beginning of this new year, if you've never known Jesus, let us introduce your Savior to you. Please do not say, "My dragons aren't so big, I have time, I will meet Jesus someday." Statistics say that there are those listening to my voice at the beginning of 2003 who will not have that opportunity in 2004. Do not postpone. My co-workers at the Lutheran Hour will be glad to help. Give them a call at the number they will provide before the end of this broadcast. At the beginning of this new year, if you have forgotten Jesus, allow us to reintroduce him to you. Do not have a passing acquaintanceship with his name. He is your Savior. He should be remembered. Call the number we will give. And when Jesus once again becomes your friend and constant companion, when Jesus is once again conquering the dragons in your life, then you will go into this year confident. Through Jesus, you will be more than a conqueror in 2003. During World War I, a British commander was preparing to lead his soldiers back to battle. They'd been on furlough. The dismal march back was blackened by a cold, rainy, muddy day. The soldiers' shoulders sagged because they knew what lay ahead of them: mud, blood, possible death. Nobody talked. Nobody sang. It was a heavy time upon their hearts. The dragons were there. As they marched along, the commander looked into a bombed-out church. Above the altar of the church, he saw the figure of Christ on the cross. The commander remembered the one who had suffered, died, rose, and won the victory for him. With faith in his heart, he shouted out the order, "Eyes right, march!" Every eye turned to the right, and as the soldiers marched by, they too saw that cross. And in the heart of each man, the dragons that had been there were slain. They took courage, and the shoulders straightened. They smiled as they went. Today, at the beginning of a new year, in the presence of a risen Christ, a living Lord, let us join with those soldiers and all who believe in the Savior. Let us join our hearts in an ancient prayer. From ghoulies and ghosties and long-leggedy beasties and things that go bump in the night, I give thanks to you, good Lord, for you and Jesus have delivered me. God grant this be your prayer every day of this new year. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.